Discover personally how the Word of God can effect a change in your life through the ministry of Reverend Victor Collins Isabri. Reverend Victor Collins is a missionary to Guyana and serves as the senior pastor of the Lighthouse Chapel International, Georgetown, Guyana, South America, a thriving church that is making a difference in so many lives. Reverend Collins is a seasoned minister of the Word of God and has been ministering for over 15 years. He has a rare teaching gift and ministers powerfully under the anointing. Now listen to Victor Collins Isabri.
Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, thank you so much for tonight. Thank you for bringing us together. Thank you for what you are doing in our lives. We give you praise, we worship you, we adore you. Thank you for lives that you are changing, lives that you are affecting, lives that you are paying particular attention to. I thank you for your presence in our midst tonight. Bible says, what is man that thou art mindful of him? We're so grateful that you have chosen to be with us. And you will bless us tonight. I know you will bless us tonight. You will not allow us to leave your great presence the same as we came. Thank you for everyone who came from far and near to come and witness the greatness of our God in this place. We give you the praise, we give you the glory. So have your own way in our midst tonight. In Jesus' name, and somebody said, amen. Wow, you may be seated, please. All right, we are looking at the words of Jesus. We have a few of them left of this book. I want to encourage you to get a copy of this book, The Words of Jesus Christ. In a world like ours, in a generation like ours, and in a season like ours, you have a lot of voices. You have a lot of things that tries to capture our attention. But we have to be focused. We have to know who has called us. We have to know who we've given our lives to. We have to know who is our master and who is our savior. In fact, Jesus talks in John chapter 10. He says that I know my sheep and my sheep, they hear my voice. So if you are in the fold of Jesus Christ, then the voice of Jesus should be something that is very, very important and must be very, very important to you. But these days you have Christians who family dictates more to them than the Bible. I'll say it again. I said these days you have Christians who mother and father tells them more things and they obey those more things than even what the Bible says. It's like if I want to do something for God and my mother doesn't agree, then I can't do it. If I want to do something my father doesn't agree, then I can't do it. If I want to do something and the society tells me that, you know, this is not the best thing to do with your life, then I don't want to do it. But what happens to the voice of Jesus Christ? We want to bring back to the forefront, we want to bring back to the right place the voice of our Savior and our Master, Jesus Christ. Because the moment you give your heart and your life to Christ, you're supposed to follow only one person, and that is Jesus. You realize many of us, you know, we are moved by what happens in the world. You're moved by what happens in your home. You're moved by what is happening in the country. I mean, sometimes the circumstances in the country is what makes people leave the country and go somewhere else. Yeah, circumstances, they have voice. Many people have gone to America and Canada and all those places because of the voice of hardship. Many people can't handle hardship. They like butter and bread and cheese and egg and sausages. Once there's no bread and sausages and butter and cheese, they cry, they get depressed. You see, as a Christian, you have to also be able to willingly and ready to suffer for Jesus Christ also. Yeah, this calling also brings along with it suffering. Because what is love if you only enjoy and you don't suffer? What kind of love is this that you have for somebody that is only good times? That's why when you come to the altar, like Sister Wendy is going to come to the altar on Sunday, we are going to tell her for better, for worse. Not that 2 years later, the thing ain't going well, and you say that, you know what, I want to leave. You can't leave. You better build yourself against this world. We are strangers to this world. This world is not our home. We are just passing through. I said, this world is not our home. We are enemies of this world.
They don't give us the things that we needed as well. But in the sweet by and by, one day we'll get to where we belong and we'll have everything for ourselves. But as long as we're here, and whilst we're here, we will deal with things as they come around. Yeah, you have to understand that this world is hostile to Christianity. I was with one civil engineer the other day, and we were traveling about, what was it, like an hour back and forth or something like that. And then, we were talking about politics and all of that. And at the point, there was silence in the vehicle. And then he broke the silence with, one morning he turned on his radio and he heard my voice. And I began to laugh. He said, "Bye? Them things what you say upon radio? Bye?" He said, "If them women association and these women people, they get you by, they go match you by." And I figured out that he was talking about when I was preaching about the leadership style of a woman. And I was talking about the women, they are not carved to be an authority. They are not carved to lead. And then he was saying that, maybe my parishes, people in my church will understand what I'm saying. But those outside, if they get me, they will match me. You see, We are in a world where people want us to tell them what they would like to hear. Yeah, people, nobody wants to go through any difficult things. As long as it's easy, give it to me. If it's difficult, give it to my neighbor. Yeah, we don't like any difficult things. When things are difficult, we check out. When things are difficult, we say, "Not me." When things are difficult, we don't do it. Uh-huh. But we have to be built for, that's what the Bible says, endure hardness as a good soldier. They are good soldiers and they are bad soldiers. In the army, anytime they want a special operation, there's a special group of people they choose. They don't just keep those pia-pia soldiers and pia-pia policemen around. They're frightened. I tell you. You see, this time of this, I don't know what they call it, the crime wave, I wasn't here, but if we had a very, very special police force, they wouldn't have been able to handle them. It's because we don't have anything. We don't respect the police. We don't give them the right kind of tools. Hey, that's why criminals can overtake the whole country. If you look at it now, it looks like there's some sabotage in our country. There's too much robbery, businessman, too much. It's almost as if somebody is masterminding all these things. I don't trust it that it is people hungry. We're supposed to be free now. All of the 23 years of PPP rule, I'm sure people are supposed to be free now. Many people are happy that the cap is gone and now we have something more than the cap. Right, but so how come the new regime has come with a lot of crime and a lot of killing? Somebody somewhere is paying somebody to do something. Yeah. But you see, these things, they speak. And as Christians, we should not be focused on these voices. We should focus on the words of Jesus Christ. So last week, we started talking about what Jesus said about his own words. Isn't it? Now, I always say this. I say that I think there was a guy here on Tuesday like this and he got vexed and he got out. I like it when you get vexed and you leave. I like that. Because it tells me that you are very ignorant of the fact. Because anytime I talk about Muhammad or I talk about Krishna or Shiva or Sai Baba or Selassie or whoever they call themselves, they are not in the category of Jesus Christ. And there's no apology about that. They are not in the category. They are not in the category. I don't know how much more I should say it. There's no apologies for that. I say, we all know where Muhammad is buried. Show me where Jesus is so I can go and worship him. It was proven that he died on a cross. It was proven that he was put in a tomb. But the proof that his body is not there is also that we can't find it. This is so. Nobody, a few, if any, really stood and spoke about their words in a very powerful way. Look at what Jesus said about his own words. Number one, he said that Jesus taught that words in general are not trivial things, isn't it? We looked at that last week. And number two, he said that Jesus taught that words would be used as a basis for judgment. Tonight, Jesus taught that words were the unmistakable portrayal of a person. You better follow the words of Jesus or you die and you perish. Or you live a very a punishable life here on earth. You live a very difficult life here on earth. Jesus said that the words of a human being is an unmistaking portrayal of the person. You can believe it or not. But you will see it just now. Many people have ignored what people say. Most of the time, even in unguarded situations. You see, there are some moments where people say what is on their mind. When people are eating, and you go to a restaurant, you're eating, and you're drinking, you're eating. And people say what is on their mind. When people are hungry, they don't speak their mind. But when they eat, they belly full. Then you go hear what they got for say. They will tell you everything. That's how come business deals are made at lunch times. You know, if you don't have business, they take them to a very nice restaurant. They take over the restaurant. They take part of a private room in the restaurant. And as the appetizer comes, as the drink comes, as these people who drink beer, who drink wine, and all aperitif and all those things, and they get a main course. And make, see, the food is supposed to give you time to talk. So as you are eating the appetizer, you go to the main course, and then you go with a dessert, or you call it desert. Animals come on the desert. As you eat the dessert, and then you have the tea, you have the coffee, and all of that. There are reasons why all those times are times where people are talking. You can't sit down and eat. It's going to take like an hour. You can't be seated. Some of you husbands and wives, you should go to restaurants. You will talk. You don't talk in the house. Go to restaurants. You will talk. Husbands and wives, are you listening to me? You are in the house too much. Take them to the restaurant. When was the last time you took your wife to the restaurant? Abba. Yeah, a voice crying out in the wilderness. Prepare a place for me. Yeah. Abba. When's the last time you took her to the restaurant? That's why you don't talk a lot. Because home, there's nothing about home to talk about. If you go to the restaurant, at least with the children. Hey, stop. It's even a bother. If you want to go and hide somewhere, you go to the restaurant, you get something to talk about. Yeah. Things will come up as you are eating. Once you eat your belly full, you will hear secrets. I said you hear secrets. So Jesus taught that words were the unmistakable portrayal of a person. Now, let me just take this bad example for this good moment. You see, the APNU, they were advertising PBP ELI, right? Now, the seriousness of the thing is that somebody says something and then they don't mean it. It's not just words. That's what Jesus is trying to say. When somebody says something wrong or bad, you should watch it. When somebody makes a negative comment, you should not say, oh, she's beautiful. So you want to separate her beauty from the negative words. Look at what Jesus said. Matthew chapter 12, verse 34. Many of us have come across dangerous people, but we didn't realize it. Because we were trying to excuse them and pardon them for the words they have spoken. Instead of really taking those words in the light of what Jesus said in Matthew 12 and verse 34. Jesus said, oh, generation of vipers, generation of snakes. A viper is a snake, isn't it? You can say, oh, generation of anacondas or labarias. Yeah, you can black mamba or black mambo. We say mamba, they say mambo. Yeah, if you're in Italy, to be a boy and a girl, because bambina and bambino is different. If it's bambina, it's a male. If it's a bambino, it's a baby boy and baby girl, it's bambina and bambino. So when you say mamba or mambo, it gotta be Italian. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, generation of mambes or mambos. How can you, Jesus is saying, how can you, somebody from a generation of snakes, how can you, being evil, speak good things?
It tells you that once bad things are spoken, they are a clear reflection of who the person is. You can't excuse people for the little lies, the little excuses, and the little things they do. Many of you, that's why some of you women, when a man beats you for the first time, that's the first day you should take your bag. So if they beat you 200 times before you wake up. You see, because you want to play with Jesus' words, you will come to realize that you are rather a fool. Jesus said it. Many of you, you have forgiven too much. You see, if it's your husband or wife, it's a very different story. Some of you, it's so bad, it's just a fella. Just a banner. Just a flyer. Just a convention banner. It's not somebody who has even gone a certain way, sacrificed so much money and so much resources to honor you into his life and has taken you to a proper place to stay, a nice place to stay. He ain't giving you nothing. He's even staying by you. And then all the negative and the bad things he says, you just take those words for granted. Jesus said it. Jesus said it. You want to joke with the words of Jesus? Jesus said it. He said that, how can you be in evil? Speak good things. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So you just said, oh, he just made a mistake by saying what he said. That's how his heart is. He can't say anything different from what is in his heart. So whatever he's saying is coming from his heart. Yeah. That is why when you're going to get married, we bring you to the altar. We say what is from your heart. In fact, Americans, they even do it better. They say, you say it yourself. Be spontaneous. It's not like our owners say, what do they say again? Pastor Ralph, what did he say? He said, something they say. When do you do it on Sunday for Sister Wendy? Yeah. And so you have to say something. Otherwise, when you come to the altar, you just come and we'll pray for you. We say, oh Lord, we pray for the two. They are married now in Jesus' name. No, you have to say something. And what you say, you see, now you are deceiving us because we tell you what to say. If we were to ask you, say something to her, then you will hear. You see, people think they are smart. I've asked a few people this question. I ask them, why do you want to marry her? And they say all kinds of foolish things. People don't even know the basis, the foundation of wanting to marry somebody in the church. The moment you say that, then I know it's not that you're a nice Christian, you don't know what to say. There's nothing in your heart. What is in your heart is exactly what you are saying. There's no substance in it. You think about it. Why are you in love with somebody? Think about it. Think about it. Think about it. Should I take some of you young people and do an example? Where are they? Where are they? Where are those who there? Where are those dead people? You and somebody there. Where are they? They didn't come to church. All right. You look like one of them who came to church tonight. No, ask. If you want to be serious, ask anybody who is a Christian who says they like or they love somebody, why do you love her? It is even more serious when people say, I had a dream about you. Go, please go away. We don't like no dream. Go away. You had a dream? You see, for the sake of respect, for the fact that God speaks to people in different ways. Is that Lisa or what? Is it Lisa? Anne-Marie? Ah, okay. Is it the respect? God speaks through dreams also. Right, but if you look at even the last days, the Bible says that the young men shall have visions. It's older men who have dreams. So if you're a younger man, you're having dreams. It's out of place. You need to have visions, not dreams.
At least if you come with a vision, we can say that, okay, the Holy Ghost is moving.
It is better to come and say, you know what, Pastor, I see this lady and I just love her. I love her because of the way she even walks. You tell her something foolish, the way she walks. You love her for the way she walks. It's, at least there's something that you are saying the truth. But don't come and say, oh, Reverend, I had a dream. Can you interpret it for me? Do you think I'm Daniel or Joseph? I interpret dreams. You interpret your own dream. You want somebody to condone and connive with you to do something bad. Yeah. One day a sister. And a certain sister and a certain brother. Somewhere abroad. We were in a, you know, in a leaders group like this. We're eating, we're drinking, we're music, we're having fun. And then the sister said, she's getting married next month. Everybody was surprised. Hey, where's the guy? Who's the guy? No, the guy was part of us. So I said, who's the guy? And then the guy was a little shy. He said, hey, is it you? And he said, yes. So I said, okay. So what is your conviction? Because why do you want to be a pastor? I believe that I am called. Right? But some people become a pastor because they want money. Some people choose to become a pastor because they want to be popular. So in everything, that there are reasons why people want to go into it. So why do you want to marry this lady? And he started with a dream. He said he had a dream and he was sitting in the train. And the train derailed. And everybody in the train died. And he was unconscious. And he said he saw in the dream somebody coming to save him. Lo and behold, it was this Christian sister. The Christian sister has turned into 911. Has turned into fire service. Coming to save you in a derailed train. Rescue 911. It's better when you say, oh, she's beautiful. I like the way she talks. When she speaks, my heart jumps from the left to the right. At least we can accept that. But don't come and tell us. She's November born. I is November born. So November born. We agree. We get along. We had a wedding here a few years ago. The reception was right down here. Prince, was it you who got married? And we did a proposal of toast. And then the groom, we did a reply to the toast. The proposal of toast, right? That's what they call it. So the groom, isn't it? The mister for the moment took the microphone and he was trying to tell us how they met, the love story, right? The road to the love, you know. When he took the microphone, he said, is she hustled me? Hey! Now, even though when you finish his speech, and the girl also took the microphone. He said, I hustle you? I hustle you? You. Bye. So, I mean, it was like a comedy show. But you think about it. Several years down the lane, they almost divorced. They beat each other. They fight physically in the house. The girl has moved out of the house several times. The guy doesn't really care about her. When the guy finished marrying her and all of that, a few months later, the guy left the church and warned the girl not to come back to the church. You see, when somebody tells you at a wedding, when guests are there and visitors are there, he tells you, it's you who hustle me. I don't know what you would do, but it's a very bad sign. That's why I say, women shouldn't hustle men. You don't want to listen to the pastor. You say, is this bar? You say, this bar is special.
This by ain't gonna do you nothing. Ain't gonna do you no bad. You blige to listen to me. You blige to listen to me. Don't be a bigotee. Blige to. I'm applying my grillies. You blige to. You blige to. Okay. I'm working on my grammar. You have patience with me. I'm working on my Creolese grammar. You blige to. Yeah. You blige to. You don't have a choice. Yes, imperative. Listen. The guy says that you hustle me. What a disgrace. It's the same thing I say also. Yeah? The same thing I say also. I said, you see, you can take it. Is that Karen at the back and Kimberly at the back there? I said, you can choose. You see, those of you ladies who like to marry guys that are younger than you, you blind to listen. correct application, yeah. Now you ask for love. It's, oh, love has no age. You're blind to. Now, when you say them things, you are trying to say that you understand nothing. There's nowhere in the Bible that says that you shouldn't marry anybody older or younger than you. There's nowhere in the Bible. You can take me to court, you win the case. But by experience and by the fact that power and the headship or the captaincy was given to the man, it's not just a man. There are certain things that makes a man the head. You get it? The man is not a head because he's a man. No, you are a head because you are supposed to be the one who is able to be ahead of the woman in several areas, in finances, in ideas, in wisdom, in spirituality, in everything. The man, that's what makes you a head. I am the pastor because I preach better than you. I preach better than you. Yeah. Otherwise, you'll be the one preaching. Yeah, you're obliged to accept it. You're obliged to. Yeah, no, that's true. Yeah. Yeah. I'm the pastor because God chose me. Yeah. And God has anointed. My anointing is bigger than your anointing. If we are talking about percentage, mine is probably 40%, but yours is 0.1%. Yeah. Are you following? Petal, are you following? So, when the man who's supposed to be ahead in so many things to make him the head, really, when he is younger than the servant, let me use the word servant, or than the second in command, then the person, the second in command, can use age when it comes to critical situations. He can apply his age. Yeah. Because you don't know it's true until it happens to you. I've seen it before when a woman tells a man, I'm bigger than you. Shut your mouth. I'm bigger than you. Yeah. What are you going to do? You slap her? It's your problem. You like big things. Mm-hmm. So let them sit on you. Yeah.
Even when it comes to salary, when a woman earns more than a man, it's problems. Unless you have a woman who is she's a very God-fearing woman. Because sometimes you can't avoid it that a woman will earn more than a man. You can't avoid it sometimes. But you see, the person who is receiving the money, who is a woman, must have a certain character that the money can't dictate for her. Otherwise, I would advise that you, the man, you do 3 jobs and bring more money. I will advise you to do that. So you put money on the table. I said, how much is your hair? How often do you want to change your hair? This is it. And so that whenever there is an issue in the house, you tell it, girl, sit down. You're obliged to stand. You're obliged to stand up. Otherwise, these women of these days, yeah. You see, in the olden days, it probably wasn't a problem. Because the woman could even take another 2 or 3 rivals. The man could marry 3 or 4. And the woman is quiet. She doesn't say anything. As long as she gets she money and she gets she time with you, she all right. These days, even one is a problem. So even if one day are fighting with you, then you also have to put certain things in place. There was a time where grills, nobody was buying any grill. Because who will buy a grill for their door? You don't even close your door. But times have necessitated that when you build your house, you have to, you blast too. So now, if you are not going to say, age is not just a number. So when people say things, it's not just something they have said. It is equal to their nature. Jesus said it. Evil. He said, you generation of vipers. You are evil. And therefore, you can't say anything good. So when somebody doesn't say anything good to you, the person is evil in heart, in nature. If you like, you joke with it. You will cry in broad daylight. And you realize that. Oh, but he used to tell me things. What things was he telling you? And even in our church, we have come to realize that when people make certain statements and we don't pay attention to it, not long after that, they show a certain character that we don't expect. But we don't expect, because when they make some statements, we don't take note of it. Yeah, especially if they are nice people and they are in nice positions and all of that. When they say something, we don't pay attention to it. But if we were to pay attention, we were just to take our eyes off whoever the person is and then just hear. President Jack just said he's not going to parliament. He said he's not coming. Right? But today he's an opposition leader. What does it tell you? It's not, he changed his mind. Or No. Jesus is saying this. You take it. It's right here. Right here. If somebody said they were in a death squad, they are not people to just talk around with. Oh, I don't know how some lawyers will represent people like that. If somebody has had the audacity to take a gun and shoot somebody before, we know God forgives. We know it. The safety is in the church. If God forgives, then it's fine. But apart from that, I'll move from. If you live here, I'll move from there. Because killing people is not a problem to you. You know, I used to be the one who used to kill the chicken in the house. Because the girls, you know, my big brother migrated very early when I was a little boy. So everybody else was a girl. Right? So I used to even play girls' games. I know all the girls' games when I was growing up. Oh, cry, do all the things. Raphael, if you like American, I'll challenge her, cry. I used to know all of them. And then suddenly they would drive me away. Go, when I was growing up. Because I have 5 sisters. I mean, 4 of them, all of them. Hey, it wasn't easy. What was I saying? Chicken. So when my mother goes to the
No, you. Please. The people are lost. They don't know what you are talking about. Please. The people are lost. When my mother goes to the market and she brings, you know, the poultry, and the broilers and all of that, then the girls, they don't like to kill the chicken, the fowl, right? So, the broiler. So, now, I will be the one who will be tasked to kill it. I try, you put the legs together, and then you step on the wings, right? And you hold the neck, and you take off the feather from the neck here, and then you make sure your knife is sharp, and then you do koche, 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 koche. Then you see blood coming out. And then and then they will die. Will die. Even though when the girls see it, so I was a killer in the house. Used to kill the fowl. Death squad in the house. When it comes to my father, seasonally, sometimes Christmas time, will organize a goat. Big goat or a sheep for Christmas season. When that goat comes, I am not the one who kills it. No, I don't have the grace for goats. My father will organize a special guy. Comes with a very sharp knife. Who knows how to execute the goat and the sheep. Yeah. And then we'll be sitting down, we'll be enjoying, we'll be eating and barbecuing and all kinds of things. Now, when it comes to a human being, it's a very special something. So somebody who confess that I have killed people before, he's telling you, how can you, being evil, speak good things? So when he's speaking evil, that is who he is. When they lie, you give me John 8:44 and we close. Yeah. Don't expect anything good from somebody who says they love you and they say something bad about you. Or they show you something, you realize, why are you doing this thing to me? You must understand that this is how he is. It will take you years. You can never change him. It's in the heart. John 8:44. You are of your father the devil. And the lust of your father, you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth because there's no truth in him. Satan, many people sometimes, Christians, young Christians say, so why can't God forgive Satan? Yeah. Because, you see, they think that if God will forgive Satan, then all the evil in this world will stop. But Satan has been condemned. There's nothing like Satan and God having any interaction. Because the guy is a murderer from the beginning. And he does not abide in the truth. Because there's no truth in him. Whenever he speaks a lie, he speaks of his own. For he is a liar and he's a father of it. So when somebody lies, that person is Satan's child. Yeah. When you're going out, when he's dating you, he lies to you. And then when you find out, oh, sweetie babies, oh, babes. I'm sorry, man. Man, forgive me. Forgive me now. Forgive me. And then he calls Malcolm to request a nice song for you. Forgive me now. Forgive me now. Hi, baby. Oh, hi, baby. And then your heart gets soft. All right, man. The Satan you are dealing with, you say, all right, man. If only you would know. It is Satan you are dealing with. Not because he has two horns and red eyes or anything, but because he told a lie. Yeah. Many of you have dealt with people who have lied. You still don't say anything to them. Anytime they come, you say, you see, I love you. Say, I love you. Say, baby, give me another chance, baby. Hi, pumpkin. You look at him and you say, baby, I mean, you know,
Baby. Yeah. It's true.
Ronaldo, yeah.
Tell you, baby. It's all kinds of things.
And then you listen. And then there's some small quietness and peace.
And then 2 months later, Charlie, he cannot hide. It's just that he tries to hide, but he can't hide for long. And then you, please, if you are not married, just say, bye bye, love.
It's a song too. Stand to your feet, my time is up. Hallelujah. Yeah, Vanessa, oh, what do you think?
Yeah.
Wow.
It's true.
Thank you, Jesus. Jesus is teaching us who to stay away from and who to get closer to. It's our choice. You can receive it or you can reject it. When you refuse the words of Jesus, it's up to you. When you receive the word of Jesus also, it's also up to you. Hallelujah. Just close your eyes with me, please. I believe in God the Father. I believe in Christ the Son.
God is three and one. I believe in the resurrection,
that we will rise again. For I believe in the name of Jesus.
Father, tonight we want to say thank you for teaching us, for opening our eyes. We will walk on the path of righteousness for your namesake. Thy word has come indeed to be a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Help us, teach us, continue to stir us up to be able to live the life you want us to live. Thank you, O God, for tonight and for the blessings you have released upon our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. You are here tonight, you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Pastor, please pray with me. I want to give my heart to Jesus. If you are here like that, every eye closed, every head bowed, you want to say, Pastor, I am not saved. I am not sure whether I will go to heaven or hell when I die. You want to be sure tonight. You want to be sure tonight. Pastor, please pray with me. I want to be born again. I want to receive Jesus. I want Jesus to come into my heart. I want my sins to be washed away. If you are here like that, just your right hand up high and I'll pray with you. Your right hand up high and I'll pray with you. Pastor, please pray with me. I want to be born again. Just your right hand up high. God bless you. I see that hand. God bless you. I see hands all over the place. God bless you. If you lifted up your hand, I want to ask you to come to me. Come. I want to pray for you. Come, sir. Come. Come, sir. Come, I want to pray for you. God bless you. Come for them as they come. God bless you. God bless you, sir. God bless you. Bless you. Anybody else coming? Come quickly. You're coming. You want to give your heart to Jesus? Come quickly. Close your eyes. Let's pray this prayer together. Remember, it comes from your heart. If it doesn't come from your heart, the Bible says that you will not be saved unless you believe in your heart and you confess with your mouth. So say this prayer with me. Church, join in as we pray together. Say with me, Heavenly Father, I am a sinner. Forgive me of all my sins. Wash me with the blood of Jesus. I believe with my heart. And I confess with my mouth that Jesus Christ died for me. I believe God raised him from the dead. And I believe Jesus is alive right now. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus, and make my heart your home. I believe that by this prayer, I have been saved from hell. I am born again. My name is written in the book of life, and heaven is my destination. Thank you, Father, for saving my soul. In Jesus' name, amen.
We believe you have been blessed by the powerful preaching of God's Word. For more information on the ministry of Reverend Victor Collins Isabri, please call us on 592-225-6760 or email us at lciguiana@gmail.com. You can also log on to www.lighthousechapelguiana.org. God richly bless you.